Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So since the end of the draft on late Saturday afternoon, a lot of you, me included, have talked about Raw Athletic Score, RAS. Washington's nine-player draft class turned out to be the most athletic based on this calculation this year in the draft. And so we're going to the source. Kent Lee Platy is the creator of Raw Athletic Score, RAS. He does a lot for Pro Football Network. You can follow him on Twitter at MathBomb. He's a Navy veteran. He's a math junkie. He's a football nut. So please indulge me at least for a few minutes here at the beginning, Kent, by just asking some basic questions for not only my benefit, but for the benefit of the audience, because I think some people have followed this in recent years, but being here in Washington, where they perhaps haven't drafted the most overall athletic classes, this was a bit of a revelation for some. So let's start with, what is RAS?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on. RAS stands for Relative Athletic Score. It was created in 2013, revised in 2017, and it's been pretty unchanged since then. What we do is we take player athletic testing data from the Combine, Pro Day, the CFL Combine, HBCU Combine, and any official source that we can get, and we compare it to a player's position group all the way back to 1987. Most of the data is actually more modern data. We just didn't have very good data collection methods back then. But it goes back a little ways, and all it does is put everything on a 0 to 10 score. We did 0 to 10 because that's very easy to understand. Everybody can understand 0 is not going to be the good one. And then, of course, if you've seen the cards, everything is color-coded with stoplight colors. So red, yellow, and green, everybody pretty much understands what red, yellow, and green mean when they're used together. The intention was just to create a contextualized testing metric so that we can look at player testing data and actually understand what that means in relation to their position group.
So what specific data is used to generate the 0 through 10 number?
So we look at a player's size, which is only really used for weighting. It's not based on an ideal size. It's bigger is better, because that's used to weight all of the other testing when we get that final grade. So we have a little bit of size weighting there. We measure the 40-yard split and both the 20 and 10 split. We do the bench press, vertical, and broad jump measure explosiveness. And then the agility drills are the shuttle and cone drills. So it's all of the major drills at the NFL Combine and their pro days. They actually do a couple more drills, like the 60-yard shuttle occasionally, but those aren't done often enough to really matter from a scoring perspective.
Are certain data points weighted more heavily? Like, is the 40 any different than the way you measure the 20-yard or the 10-yard split? Is it position-based? How does that work?
No, we intentionally designed RAS to be as simple and easily explainable as possible. So there's no individual weighting for positions, and everything is weighted exactly the same. That's why we only use height and weight. We don't use arm length and hand size, because if we did, then we'd have four metrics for size, which is just too much to kind of weight for the size. You know, you'd be giving way too much of a benefit to the bigger players and way too much of a drawback for the smaller players. I found that only using two kind of keeps that a little balanced. But yeah, the intention is just to make everything nice and simple and easy to understand. If you want to try to look at it more granularly, you can do that. Once you have all the data, you can start looking at it and be like, well, you know, I prioritize these things a little bit more. It's a lot easier to see that with RAS, because if you do value things like the agility drills more, they're stoplight color coded and they're 0 to 10. So it's much easier to find those guys that meet your benchmarks with something like this.
So Kent, I mean, I love the simplicity of it. So simply put, what does a really good RAS score say about a player?
So we get this every year where people think, oh, these scores don't tell you everything about a player. They're not intended to. The intention is just to give an idea of what a player's general athleticism is. If a player tests really well in every area, then they should be considered a better athlete. But that doesn't mean that a player is a bad athlete if they don't test perfectly in every area. We had a perfect example of this a couple of years ago with DK Metcalf, who tested poorly in his agility, very poorly with his agility drills, but everything else was phenomenal. And you didn't really care about his change of direction ability when you watch him on tape. So do those drills really matter? Because that's what they're measuring, right, is your change of direction ability, your fluidity in space. He didn't need any of that. He's a height, weight, speed guy that wins by being bigger and faster than everybody else. So you'll get guys that don't have the highest scores who still succeed in the area that they do on the football field. And that's where you kind of have to dig into more than just that overall score.
I mean, if the highest score is 10, I'm assuming there have been many 10s. But my question was going to be, who's the player that tested the highest since you've been doing this in 2013?
So it's by pure coincidence that I'm a Lions fan, because it was Calvin Johnson who had the highest score ever. His worst drill was still 97th percentile. I believe it was his 10-yard split. And that was his worst test. So if the worst thing you got going is 97th percentile, that's a hell of an athlete.
So Calvin Johnson turned out to be a hell of a player. Is there somebody that comes to mind that tested off the charts that couldn't play?
Oh, all the time. And this is another thing that people bring up is that, oh, all of these guys scored really well and they didn't do well. The failure rate for a prospect coming into the NFL is insanely high. Less than 10% of players actually get drafted, or about 10% actually get drafted. And we know that fewer than that actually succeed when they get into the NFL. But there's no stranger. The NFL is no stranger to taking guys for traits and then having them not work out. We see it with pass rushers fairly often. Pass rusher is a position where athleticism generally is a really good indicator. But you'll get guys like Vernon Golston and Deion Jordan, guys that were basically just athletes that don't work out. It's it's only meant to be part of the equation, not the entire equation.
So what have you learned over the, you know, 10 or 11 years that you've done this? Like, how significant should an NFL team take the results of this? I mean, how often is it used? How important is it for them?
So NFL teams all have their own analytics departments. They have access to more data than we'll ever be able to get. They don't have to fight for it like I have to. They have a lot of access to a lot of resources, but RAS provides a pretty useful analog to what a lot of NFL teams are using. And you'll see this a lot with rebuilding teams that are just getting started. We saw it with the Bears over the last couple of years. The Colts have been doing it for a little while as they've kind of struggled through rebuilding. But you also see it in teams like the Eagles, who have traditionally always drafted the best athletes that they can find for a very long time, almost a full decade. The Eagles had the most athletic offensive line in the NFL, and it's probably no coincidence that their offensive line was also one of the best in the NFL over that period of time. You tend to find that the best players are the best athletes. So when you're trying to draft the position, you don't just look for the best athletes, but you use that as one indicator as you're looking at a player. If you have a player that tests poorly, you've really got to weigh whether or not you think that player can succeed. Because you've got plenty of examples of players with lower athletic testing who still do well, but they're not very common, and teams tend to value that in the draft differently. We didn't have any players in the draft this year taken in the first round that had a RAS below 5, and only one where the RAS was below 8, which was Darius Robinson. We only had, I think, two players in the second round and two players in the third round that had below 5. Teams don't look at those athletic testing numbers and think, oh, well, I don't care because the tape's good. They value that stuff when they're trying to come up with their players. And I think a lot of teams use it as a sort of tiebreaker when they're looking at multiple players and saying, yeah, but this guy also didn't test very well. Because it's a better indicator of who's likely to fail than who's likely to succeed.
Interesting. If I'm being repetitive here, just tell me, because I know you answered something resembling what I'm going to ask earlier, but is there a position where this is more effective in evaluating a player in the draft?
Absolutely. I've mentioned pass rusher, offensive tackle, and offensive guard seem to correlate very, very tightly to it. One of the biggest ones, though, is tight end. Tight ends rarely succeed if they're not the very best athletes. For tight ends that have had a 750-yard receiving, just one 750-yard receiving season, there's only been one in the last 25 years who had a RAS below 5, and that was Jordan Reed, who was injured when he tested. And, of course, injuries were a big part of his career. But he's the only one. We don't have any other examples of a lower testing athlete succeeding at tight end. And indeed, most of the best tight ends, they're not just above that 80th percentile, that 8.0 or higher for RAS, but they're generally above that 9 or higher.
Really?
Yeah, it's generally.
Who's the highest testing tight end during your era of
doing this?
It's
been broken twice in the last couple of years. We had it broken by Jelani Woods that the Colts drafted a couple of years back. And then last year by Zach Kuntz, who was a seventh-round pick from the Jets. But you look at guys like Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski, Kelsey, Kittle, all of those guys are just phenomenal athletes compared to their position group.
We are talking to Kent Lee Platy. He's the creator of RAS, Relative Athletic Score. This is actually really interesting. So, pass rusher, the both offensive line positions, tight end, this is a real strong indicator of. Is there a position where this rarely indicates anything?
Mathematically, the answer to that is no, because they all show some correlation. Even quarterback shows some correlation from a mathematical standpoint. But there's a little bit more to it than just looking like there's a trend. For quarterback example, for example, the percentage of successful quarterbacks for RAS is fairly high. It's like 60-something percent compared to the guys that are below. But that's also almost exactly the same percentage of players on a roster at that position. So it doesn't really show us that it correlates to success more. It shows you that you're more likely to get on a roster, right? Center has been one of those very elusive positions where we've got a lot of examples of centers who don't have very good athletic testing metrics, and they still find a ton of success in the NFL. So even though mathematically that correlation is there, I always bring it up because there's a lot of guys that have found success who didn't test well. Both Pouncey brothers, there's a couple other ones, but a lot of centers we've had where that happened. Nose tackle is one that I bring up all the time because nose tackles just don't test well. But nose tackle is not separated from defensive tackle when we talk about position groupings for the draft. So you get these guys like Tavondre Sweat, who was drafted this year, who's this big hulking guy who's not meant to move a lot, right? For his size, he's a good athlete, but he's also being compared to like the Aaron Donalds of the world. And athletically, he's just never going to measure up to that.
Interesting. Like, by the way, I don't know if the same level of testing is done in, say, basketball prior to the draft. In fact, I can't even think of what the testing is, you know, for a combine. But basketball players would be really interesting because I'm curious as to just, and we'll get to Washington here in their draft specifically here in a moment. But in terms of the drills that you look at, the numbers that you use to create the relative athletic score, what kind of athlete would perform the best overall? Like in the conversation of who are the best athletes, what sport do they play?
See, that one's tough because the translatable skills are different, right? You don't need to be as quick and agile in basketball as you do, say, playing nickel corner or a slot receiver in the NFL. So those individual traits are a little bit different. But I think if you look pound for pound, basketball's got to be up there, right? You got some of the biggest athletes in the world, the guys with these huge, massive wingspans that are, you know, 7 feet tall. And their explosiveness drills are generally very good. The NBA does test for explosiveness and speed. And the best guys, from what I've heard, I haven't done all the research myself, but I've heard that there's a general correlation there as well. But those guys are just crazy athletes for their size. Now, you look at that at the NFL, though, we've got offensive tackles who are just insane level athletes for their size. Penei Sewell came out a couple of years ago, and I talked about the difference between a 300-pound offensive tackle and a 330-pound offensive tackle. And you might have some very similar testing there, but that's 30 pounds of weight that you've got to move around at essentially the same speed as some of these other guys. And it's just wild how athletic some of those big guys are.
Where did Trent Williams, I mean, he came out before you started the testing in 2010, but how is he, from your standpoint, one of the, like, who's the most athletic offensive lineman in the league?
So Trent Williams actually did test. Our data goes all the way back to 1987. I started
doing
this
in 2013.
Right.
Yeah, you started in 2013. My fault. Yeah, so go ahead.
No worries. I did a ton of historical data collection, and Trent Williams had a 9.64 out of 10. Very athletic player. The thing on him is just that he wasn't very tall. And we know that offensive linemen don't block with their heads, so that's not too much of a concern. But when we start looking at, you know, the actual just regular offensive linemen, you get guys like your Kelsey and Sam Cosmi actually had the 10 at guard until just recently. I think that got taken this year by Graham Barton. You know, some of these guys just test so ridiculously high, and it's usually the guys you expect. I know Taylor Lewan held that 10 spot for a while at offensive tackle. We had Brandon Brooks held the guard spot for a while. Him and Evan Mathis kind of went back and forth. Their scores were so similar, they would switch depending on the year. But offensive linemen who test extremely well tend to do very well in the NFL.
Interesting. By the way, on the center conversation, is it because it's a very cerebral position that perhaps that, you know, that's as significant as the athleticism?
That's always been my thinking. Like, I don't have a true answer for it, but my thinking has always been exactly that. Just that center requires so much more thinking and processing than a lot of other positions do, that a guy with lower athletic testing but really good with that cerebral stuff can find a lot more success. But we don't really have any way to measure that kind of stuff reliably.
Who was the number one RAS player in this year's draft?
That would be Graham Barton. He moved to center. They announced him as a center. So he ended up taking that 10 overall spot from Creed Humphrey, who had gotten it a couple of years ago.
All right, so let's talk about Washington's class. First of all, how has Washington done in recent years as it relates to, you know, relative athletic score?
They've done pretty well. You start looking at teams like the Commanders, and you look at, like, this year and what they're kind of dealing with. They're drafting a new quarterback. So them leading is not very surprising, because teams that are trying to build things back up or trying to refill their roster, they tend to do where they just grab as many athletes as they can. So they averaged 9.43 out of 10 this year, which is crazy high. But they averaged 8.96 out of 10 last year. So still pretty high, 8.45 in 2021. And then in 2022, it only averaged 7.7, which is still a high number. It just wasn't as close to the highest as it was this year.
So you would say to people who would say they've never looked at, you know, this kind of drafting as false, they've actually drafted high RAS classes before?
Yeah, they have done it before. I think it's where they start to value things and how they start to value things that might be changing. Because, you know, guys like Terry McLaurin is a really good player, but he didn't have as high of an athletic score as some of the other guys they've taken recently. They took Jaden Daniels, who might have been the most athletic quarterback in this class had he tested. Johnny Newton was probably going to be pretty close to the most athletic defensive tackle in this class. Brandon Coleman, I think he might have ended up being the most athletic guard in the class because we moved Barton to center. Ben Sinnott, one of the highest tight ends in the class. So they went for the top athletes at almost every pick.
Well, that's what I was going to have you do next. But again, their 9.43 out of 10 was number one in this year's draft in the league.
Yes, it was. Yep. And that's pretty high just overall compared to any other year.
So you mentioned Daniels up there. Was he number one this year?
He didn't end up testing, so we didn't get any numbers on him. I would have bet. It's similar to Lamar Jackson. I'm not comparing them as players, but it's a similar concept where he didn't test, but we know he would have done well, right? Nothing on his tape says that there was any real issues with his athletic profile.
Johnny Newton was number one among defensive tackles. Right, you said that.
He would have been. He also didn't test. He's dealing with that foot injury.
Injured.
But
yeah.
I'm pretty confident had he tested, he would have been at least near the top. I mean, his size hurt him a little bit, but I don't think that would have been too much of a concern at all. He would have tested really well.
What about Sanders still from Michigan?
Sanderson's the lowest testing player that Washington took, which is hilarious because it's an 8.45 out of 10. And he didn't test below average in any of the actual testing metrics. The only areas that really hurt him was size. I mean, I would expect that he's probably going to play nickel at least to start his career, so the size isn't even really a concern. But his worst test, I think, was his 3-cone, which was still under 7 seconds, so it's still a good 3-cone. And then his bench was only 14, which is still above average. That's almost 63rd percentile for a cornerback. So he tested very, very well. It's just that his size brought his score down.
So on Sinnott, just tell me again, he was very high among tight ends?
Yeah, he had a 9.73, which was one of the highest in the class. Not the highest. Theo Coleman, right? Had the 9.97 this year, which was the highest among tight ends. But 9.7 is still very, very high. Like, that is a very high score, and that's what you want. You want those really athletic guys. It ended up third in the class. Tip Ryman out of Illinois had a really good score at 9.92, but he's also really big, so his size actually worked in his favor for his scoring.
All right, so Brandon Coleman was one of those picks here, Kent. There's a need for offensive line, and you know, they took Newton, they took Sanristil, they took Sinnott in the second round, and they just they've not been very good as an offensive line recently. They take Brandon Coleman in the third round out of TCU. You said he tested very high. Do you see his testing translate more to guard or tackle?
I would generally put it at guard. He didn't have that magic number that you want for offensive linemen, and which is a 4.5 or below, or below 4.5 in the shuttle. But he had a 4.62, which is still a very, very good shuttle time. Those under 4.5 shuttle times are very rare for offensive linemen, but he's pretty close to it. His explosive drills, though, were 98th and 97th percentile, respectively. Extremely good explosion drills. And then, of course, his time drills were all very good. He ran the 40 under 5 seconds. And he had a 1.73 10-yard split. All of those are extremely good numbers. There just isn't a flaw with his athletic profile. And even the stuff that isn't scored by Raz, hand size and arm length, very big hands at almost 11 inches and very long arms at over 34 and a half inches.
Which would kind of indicate that there's a good chance he could play tackle with the longer arms.
If they think that there's a possibility of it, I'm always a big fan of trying guys at tackle and then moving them inside as you go.
What did you think of Coleman? Did you do mock drafts, right? Are they strictly Raz driven, or is it just one factor in you putting together a mock draft?
It's one factor. I know that I factor in athleticism more than most people do, but it's not like as much of a thing as people would suspect because I created the metric. I still watch a lot of players playing football. I still watch a lot of tape and evaluate players from that end. Coleman is a good player. I think that guard is probably where he's going to end up in the NFL. I think that's his best landing spot overall. I think that he can play tackle if he needs to, but it's one of those, like, you want to use a guy to their strength. You know, you want to use them in a way that it's going to take the best use of their abilities. And I think that he works a lot better inside. That length is really good, even at tackle. That's good arm length, and he uses his explosiveness and his agility well. But I just think that he does so much better with it inside, and he's able to really prevent that interior rush.
What about the other four players real quickly? McCaffrey went in the third, and then Jordan McGee, who looked like an athlete on the field at Temple, Hampton, and John Baptiste. What about the scores on those four?
So Maggie had a 9.6 coming out of Temple. Again, all of his tests were good. He's just a little bit undersized, which isn't a very big deal. So that isn't a concern from a scoring standpoint. Very fast, very explosive, very quick. All of those are traits that you want. You generally want your linebackers to be more explosive than anything else, and he's got all of that. He had a 91st percentile broad and an 80th percentile vert, very good explosion drills. But it's his agility drills that I think really popped when teams were looking at him, and that does show up on tape. He's very good at changing his direction and adjusting when he sees the ball move. It does take him a little bit sometimes. I think there's some speed of the game stuff that's going to come into play, especially early on in his career. But if he picks things up quickly, that guy has all the athletic traits you want to succeed for a linebacker. McCaffrey, he's wins with his agility, and that's where he tested the best. So he tested well. He had a 9.44 out of 10 for his overall RAS. He didn't have any below average tests. But it's really the only thing I really pay attention to him is those agility drills, which were 96th and 95th percentile. Very, very, very good. And that's where he wins on the football field. He's a quick and agile player. So the other stuff is just icing on the cake. You know, he's a good athlete when it comes to explosiveness. He has good speed, but he has great agility. And that's where you want him to win on the field.
I don't know if you remember or not, but how did Daron Payne and John Allen test athletically?
So I know John Allen tested good as a defensive tackle. I think when he came out, he was listed as an end, though, which kind of, you know, sullied that a little bit from a scoring perspective because it kind of made him look like a worse athlete than he was. But John Allen tested really good as a defensive tackle. I actually used him as a comparison for Darius Robinson, who came out this year for like that type of success where it's not quite elite testing as a defensive tackle, but really good. He had a 7.74 at defensive tackle. I think it was like 3 or something as an end, which is what he was listed at originally. And then Daron Payne was kind of in the same boat where he didn't have all the greatest testing as an end where he was listed at for some, but as an interior lineman, he tested very well. He had an 8.56 out of 10. He ran a very good 40-yard dash and had very good splits. All of his other numbers were just kind of okay, but from an overall athletic perspective, it looked really good.
All right. This has been really interesting, and I know people who are listening are enjoying this. So Jamin Davis, they didn't pick up his fifth year option. He has shown, you know, at times to be very athletic, very fast, quick twitch on the field. Did he test high coming out athletically?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was a big testing guy, and that was the big draw for a player like him, was that he had all this athleticism. My Lions actually took a guy a few years earlier in Jared Davis, who was a very similar kind of evaluation, where it was all about the athleticism, what you could project to do with him. You can move him all over as a linebacker. You can rush the passer with him if you need to, because he's got that explosiveness and speed. It's that extra element that you can use. There's a lot of north of the neckline stuff that you need to play that kind of a position. Sure. As a linebacker. And I think with Jared Davis, for the Lions, that was the biggest issue, was just that recognition never developed. And that might just be what we see occasionally with Jamin Davis, is that some of that stuff just isn't there. It hasn't developed as much as you want to from a cerebral perspective. And you end up overcorrecting for things. And overcorrecting when you're that good of an athlete can actually cause bigger problems, because you're further out of place.
If you
do decide to take the wrong hole, you are now all the way out of the play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Rob. If you're not sharp above the neck, it's better to be less athletic, actually. So, final one, Emmanuel Forbes, who really struggled as a rookie. How did Emmanuel Forbes look a year ago?
Yeah, and it's going to look exactly like you expect it to look. He had all of the athletic traits that you want from a player, except one thing, and that's going to be the concern until it isn't, which is just how small he is from a physical perspective, his actual weight and frame. Yep. He tested very well for speed. He ran a 4.35, which is 97th percentile. His explosion drills were really good. He's tall for a cornerback at almost 6'1", but he was 166 pounds, which is only, I think, it's below second percentile, right? It's below 0.19 on RAS, so that's 1.9th percentile at cornerback. That's a limiting factor. That's something that you have to work with. You got to be physical at cornerback, and if you're that small, it's going to work against you. Guys tend to manhandle smaller guys.
All right, I lied. One more, because you mentioned weight and frame, and that's been a big discussion around here as it relates to the player they took at number two overall, Jaden Daniels. What do you make of his frame?
I don't really have too much of a concern with it at quarterback. I think it's one of those things that used to be a lot bigger of a deal than it is now. And with him, I don't really see why it's that much of a concern. I think the bigger concern for people from an evaluation standpoint was just that he kind of didn't. I think he was one of the guys that didn't do it at the combine, right? He only weighed in once he got to his pro day. I think it was just that kind of caginess about it. But for me, that only really matters if you test, and you test differently at a different weight, and he didn't test. So there isn't really anything to use by that. He came in at 6'3¼", 210 pounds. That's not great from a quarterback perspective, as far as your frame and your size in terms of weight. But it's also not terrible. We've got plenty of guys that have found success in the NFL that are under 220, and it hasn't really been a problem. And we're also seeing more of that as the post Russell Wilson era of just kind of understanding that height isn't that big of a limiting factor anymore. We're starting to see some of those smaller guys come out. So I don't think it's as much of a concern as it was being made out to be.
All right. Can you rip off the quadratic formula right now for me?
I can't. It's too long and your audience would fall asleep.
You are great. This was really, really fun to talk to you. I'm glad I reached out. Kent Lee Platty at MathBomb on X on Twitter, explaining everything about what he created, the relative athletic score, Washington with the most RAS class this year in the draft. Thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me on. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Kent Lee Platty, everybody. Interesting stuff. We'll do some Denton news next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.